Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset, your home for everything happening in Chicago and across the world. Canpachi belly tostadas, crispy kadaifi cheese pie, banana pecan bourbon toffee cake. Are you drooling yet? Because my mouth is watering. Take some notes if you can, because we're sharing some yummy new spots that you should check out here in the city. Joining us now in the studio to share their favorites is Nick Kindlesberger, food critic for the Chicago Tribune, and Steve Dolinsky, author of The Ultimate Chicago Pizza Guide. He's also NBC5's food reporter. Nick, you and your colleague Louisa Chu, you published a list of the top 25 restaurants that have opened in the, quote, after times, which is after COVID, of course. But this is part of a larger effort to entirely reconsider the list of the city's best eateries. Why are you two embarking on this journey?
Because it's delicious first.
It's your job.
What an assignment.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're just so excited about trying to approach the Chicago scene in a holistic way so we can try to do downtown spots that we're really excited about, but also all the other parts that make Chicago such a great dining place. And so, you know, this really did start after, you know, during the pandemic when I was eating in my car and I had like, I was trying to eat soup in my front seat, you know, like it was a really...
Sounds tragic.
It was tragic and I spilled a little bit, but we got those stains out, I think.
Okay.
But, and it's sort of just progressed from there. So we're really excited about it.
Well, your predecessor, Phil Vitel, was known for Phil's 50 list, right?
Right.
How are you feeling about making a new list?
We're not done yet. Yeah. So, you know, it's just the scene has changed so much, even in 3 years, to think about how many restaurants closed during the pandemic. You know, Phil really did an amazing job. But it's just, it's been, you know, 3 or 4 years since then, and so much changes.
Yeah. Well, piggyback off that, Steve, remind us of Phil's importance in the restaurant scene.
Well, first of all, they had the budget to go out and eat because it's important with a job like what Nick and Louisa do. You know, if you're going to go to the omakase room at Sushi-san and Oriole and Claudia and Kasama, that's a huge budget in just a couple of weeks or a couple of experiences. So it's A, important to have that budget, but B, you know, you need to track what's going on in Chicago. And I think the important thing of what these guys are doing and what we're all trying to do is, you know, yes, we've come out of the ghost kitchen era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of restaurants and food businesses in these communal kitchens in Avondale and in Humboldt Park. But now we're seeing places, you know, people certainly want to go to a place and just sit down and be with people they love and have a bottle of wine. And so that's kind of where we are now, where we're seeing this reemergence. So it's important to track all that.
Yeah. And we're going to dig more into a bunch of the spots that you just mentioned. But, you know, we know that in the depths of 2020, Steve, the future of dining really was uncertain for a good chunk of time there. But since then, we've seen astoundingly delicious restaurants open up. So what do you make of that?
Well, there's all these talented people in Chicago who've made it their home, and they have cobbled together resources. There are so many DIY places. I mean, going back to like Parachute and Wherewithal, but, you know, to a place like Dear Margaret now, where they just cobbled it together and kind of hung on by their fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
And just now they're thriving because everybody now wants to go out to eat. And these are... You don't have to be a huge tasting menu to have high demand. I mean, people just want to go out to eat. So places like Talk and Resi and Open Table, it's difficult to get reservations. When I booked my reservation at Kasama, I think I went on 40 days, maybe 35 days in advance to book it.
Because, no, it's impossible.
Yeah. And just for the record, you know, Nick and I, we don't call up and say, hey, I'm such and such, you know, give me a table. Mm-hmm. You know, you go online.
I have my fake names. Don't worry.
You make a reservation.
I'm such and such.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's get into it. Steve, it's cold. It's windy. It's only going to get colder, sadly. But I would love to know what new restaurant you're going to next and why.
Oh, gosh. Well, I just went to Second Generation last week to check it out because that's from the folks from Mott Street. And I'm going to a place pretty soon. Is it Dorothy?
Dorothy's Bistro.
Dorothy's Bistro that Nick went to. It used to be called Flat and Point in West Logan Square.
What kind of food?
They kind of pivoted to Eastern European, Italian with offal and just heavy duty, like stuff with their smoker, the sausage and short rib. But rib sticking, you know, which is kind of what I want to see this time of year. Unfortunately, there's no more peaches and tomatoes. So we got to go into you know, braising and roasting and smoking. So I'm looking for hearty, sort of familiar comfort stuff.
In addition to Dorothy, it looks like Bronzeville Winery made your list, Nick. I'm so excited to see that because I've never been, but it's been recommended a ton of times, and I now have reservations.
Oh, great.
Coming up soon. So why did Bronzeville Winery make your list?
As Louisa very well wrote down, you know, like it's just unlike any restaurant in Chicago right now. It's both exciting for the South Side, but truly for anyone living in the city, you need to check it out because there's not another place like it. And so it's just really exciting to see the talent there and what they're able to produce. And it's been very, very hard to get in. So I'm glad you got a reservation.
I mean, it's a reservation I got like early November for like, you know, late November. It took a while.
But it's a place that deserves the hype. It's a place that had a lot of attention beforehand, and it's still maintaining it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of restaurants that I went to that I wasn't excited about, and they're not included here. We won't say those names, but, you know, like, so we had to make sure that they lived up to what we thought. So,
And what was that that you were looking for? What was that, you know, that extra thing that you were impressed by?
There's all these different ways. You know, a lot of times I just want to feel transported. When we go out to eat, I want to leave home. I want to get out and try something I've never had before or be in a situation that is outside of normal life. You know, there's so much of the pandemic was I was at home and we were trying to deal with this stuff. And what's exciting about dining is the opposite. It's the unknown. It's trying something I've never tried or a wine I've never tried. And, you know, but I want to be careful about the price. I know how much it costs to produce. I can cook fairly well at home.
Yeah.
So I'm very conscious about, you know, is this worth the amount of money and that I've, you know, that I'm paying for it?
Yeah.
So that's very important as well.
I agree. I want to be transported for sure. I want something I can't make at home easily. So many of these places on my list this year are Asian. People who follow my stuff know
I love
Asian food.
Well, let's talk about Omakase Room at Sushi San one of yours.
We both agree. That place, it's $250 a head, but it is so worth it. As opposed to Kyoten, which is another well-known omakase, which is $440 or $490 a head, depending on what time of the week you go. But $250 a head, I think it's a great deal. You're going to get the tuna progression. You're going to get all the beautiful kampachi, seasoned rice done just as you would find in Tokyo. Just really elegant, delicious. Serene. You know, there's maybe 12 seats or so, 16 seats around this U-shaped table. Two chefs are cooking for you. You can have a conversation with the executive chef. So that I like that intimacy and I like being transported. Also, Khmer Fine Dining, which I think we both agreed also, up in Rogers Park. Cambodian, you know, same as Hermosa, another Cambodian experience. Nick, the thing that I loved this year was this this dish, this fish sauce or this dip. Is it called krung? It's typically a catfish dip.
Where?
Comes, at Hermosa and at Khmer Fine Dining.
Okay.
Just extremely delicious. There's umami. There's this fish sauce element to it, but it's not overpowering. They always come with fresh vegetables, especially at Khmer. Like the plates just look like these beautiful Monet paintings full of color and texture and flavor and aroma. Again, something you don't get to see every day.
Yeah. You've got Soul and Smoke in Avondale on your list, too.
I
love it. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I've had it as well. The smoked beef brisket was just chef's kiss.
Yeah, and they're getting ready to open like an official restaurant up in Evanston, which is really exciting.
Nice.
Like I've been following their trajectory, and it's just I got it out of a ghost kitchen in 2020, and I was like, what is this? Like, it was amazing. And then I just have been following, and they just keep getting better. They just got a new smoker. And they're getting ready to start work on a space that can actually go and sit down and eat. So keep watching on Soul and Smoke. They're only going to get better.
And Soul and Smoke, not to be confused with smoke with a Q.
That's correct.
Right?
Right. They're opening up a steakhouse, by the way.
They are,
Are they?
Smoke is very good, too, by the way.
Yeah, smoke is Texas brisket there is amazing.
I'm looking for a good Greek spot this weekend, Steve. What do you recommend?
Yeah, so, well, there's been this weird Greek renaissance happening in Chicago. Two of the three that I'm thinking of are in the West Loop. I'm not really a huge fan of either. Lyra's more of like a club restaurant, I think, although I did like the octopus. And then Nisos is just it's pretty expensive seafood. I think it's, and there's a lot of gimmickry there. But Andros Taverna up in Logan Square, really a gem. Mm-hmm. Doug Saltis and his wife, who's the pastry chef, Xing Chen, are just fantastically talented. And, you know, gyros, which are pork, because that's more traditional in Greece, they're going to be a little more expensive than your neighborhood gyros joint down the corner because everything's made from scratch.
Yeah.
Fantastic meze, beautiful dips, the pastries, the phyllo, I can't think of the name of it, but there's one with yogurt. Delicious, delicious Greek food. You got to make a reservation. I think they do brunch as well, but it's up mm-hmm. in like the
yeah,
20.
Very busy brunch.
Andros Taverna.
It's about 2500-ish North Milwaukee Avenue.
This is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We're talking about our favorite new restaurant picks with Nick Kindlesberger, who's a food critic for the Chicago Tribune, and Steve Dolinsky, NBC5 food reporter. We know that we can't mention every great new restaurant, so if you do want to share your favorite new eatery, leave us a voicemail. It's at 888-915-9945. Again, 888-915-9945, and we'll air your recommendations next week. So, Nick, I got to go back to one that Steve mentioned earlier, Kasama. In Ukrainian Village.
Yep.
It's been coming up quite a bit on this show. We also talked to its chefs when they were finalists for the James Beard Award back in the summer. So I'm not surprised that it made your list too.
Right. Yeah. No, I think if I had to rank them, it would probably be number one.
Yeah.
It's the one that I am a bit obsessed with. I've been to a lot of tasting menu restaurants over the past year, and that's still the one that I just can't get out of my head.
What makes it so good?
It's just, you can feel their history in the plates. It's not like they're trying to be fancy just to be fancy. It's like they're trying to show you their food history in the best way they know how to. I was mesmerized.
So what's your favorite item then on the menu?
There's so many menus. I mean, there's a daytime menu and a nighttime menu, right? I mean, you have to be clear, the nighttime tasting menu is $2.15 ahead. That's the 40 days in advance reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daytime, you just walk in. It's pastries. You know, Jeannie Kwan's pastries are magnificent. Mm. Breakfast sandwiches. It's chicken adobo. Super, super simple. So that's the thing. Like, totally, it's a two different restaurants.
Yeah. You'll have to wait in a line and you go in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't have to plan.
You just walk right in.
No.
Do we really, Steve?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that, you know, Tim Flores, Filipino-American from Cicero. Jeannie Kwan's not Filipino, but she gets, you know, Tim's mom's leche flan recipe for her halo halo. And then, you know, her wizardry with pastry kicks in. So they're just both so talented. It's just such a pleasant place to be in Ukrainian Village.
So a new spot that I love, Daisy's Po' Boy Tavern in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
Right? Some friends and I had dinner on their patio when it was still warm. I think this was August. And folks were passing by, you know, on their jogs or, you know, just walks with their dogs, and so many people stop to be like, hey, what does the food taste like? Is it good? I'm planning on coming soon. Like, it's just created so much buzz in the neighborhood and so much excitement. And I had their catfish po' boy sandwich, which was excellent.
You know why it was excellent? Because of the bread. This
the
is the whole thing.
The bread was really good.
I'm a freaky bread guy. I like, you know, like, I love D'Amato's bread on sandwiches and all over the place. I think the fact that they get Leidenheimer bread from New Orleans, par-baked, frozen, shipped up, refreshed, that's the key. New Orleans po' boys have to be about the bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you been yet, Nick?
I have not, but Lisa has, and it probably would have made the list, but we had to cut it off at some time, you know? We had this discussion all the time. I'm like, we just have to stop. We can keep eating, but
should have made it the 30 best.
Yeah.
Just squeeze
it
five more.
It never would have gotten out. But, yeah.
Well, I'm drooling at the thought of going to Nine Bar in Chinatown. That did make your list or didn't
that
make
did,
it?
Yeah.
It did make your list? Tell us more about it.
So this is a really exciting new cocktail spot in Chinatown, and it's sort of like in the back.
So not exactly a restaurant, but still.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's the same genre, right?
Yeah, sure.
But it's just a really thoughtful, executed cocktail program, which is sort of the first time that's been in that neighborhood. But there's all these people that grew up going to Chinatown, and their parents owned restaurants there, and the kids are now starting to get in charge, and this is really exciting.
Ooh, the kids are taking over.
Yeah, the kids are taking over.
It was Moon Palace, so right next to the fire station, and so people went there for dumplings and, you know, egg rolls.
Yeah.
But now their kids are running the show, and the cocktails are exquisite.
So in the last minute, it's now time for the toughest part of this interview,
ooh,
gentlemen.
Okay.
If you could only eat out once for the remainder of this year, Which new restaurant would you go to and why? Steve, you first.
Sochi. I love Sochi Vietnamese, right across from Shuba's. Family-owned, husband and wife, and both their mothers are in the kitchen. I mean, need I say more? They're just cranking it out. And the food is, it's beautiful, it's simple, it's affordable, it's creative and delicious. I'd go to Sochi in a heartbeat.
Sochi. All right, Nick.
Sueños. This is in the Soho. It's Steven Sandoval. It's a pop-up that just blew up. And it's Baja, so it's all seafood, but it's so beautifully done. Really respectful to the region, but with his own flavor. So a lot of grilled items. Oh, it's just astonishing.
I would have said that too. That was my second one.
No, but you only got one. You only got one, Steve. Sorry.
I like both of those.
Nick Kindlesberger is a food critic for the Chicago Tribune, and Steve Dolinsky, author and food reporter at NBC5. Thank you both. This was fun.
Thank you. It was great to see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
This episode of Reset was produced by Brenda Ruiz, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather. Enjoyed finding out about new spots to feast in Chicago? Then subscribe to our podcast, because we've got tons of interviews with chefs and food critics that you'll love sinking your teeth into. And when you subscribe, leave us a rating. That really helps more listeners find us. That's it for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you next week.
Ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.